If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. We've been on a series of the book of Acts, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Again, the next 2 weeks we'll stop, then we'll come back to it. But we've been talking about as a church, you know, our church is affiliated with the Assemblies of God, and the Assemblies of God are known as a Pentecostal church. And we've been talking about the last few weeks, what does that mean? What does it mean to be Pentecostal? And we actually have a definition for you that's taken right out of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you could put that up on the side screen for me. What does it mean to be Pentecostal? Well, Pentecostals are people who pursue God's presence with the whole person. So we're people who pursue God's presence with the whole person. That means their heart and their minds, okay? Their emotions, their hearts, and their minds. So we pursue God's presence with the whole person in order to receive power. See, God knew that when we get saved, that you can't live the Christian life on your own. You need power to be able to be the person that God's called you to be and to do what God's called you to do. So God has sent us a gift called the Holy Spirit, who is a member of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing, all-powerful. The Holy Spirit is everywhere at all times. So we are people who pursue God's presence with our hearts and our minds, the whole person, in order to receive power. But why does God give us power? To fulfill his purposes for the whole world. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power that the Holy Spirit comes about you, and you'll be witnesses unto all the world. So that's what it means to be Pentecostal. Some of you may come from different backgrounds. My wife was raised Baptist, and we love that. Some of you raised from Catholic or Methodist, Presbyterian. And what we say in heaven, there's not a Baptist corner, there's not a Presbyterian corner, there's not a Pentecostal corner. We're all in heaven going to be the same, right, man? All in heaven, we're going to be the same. But Pentecostals are simply people who want to experience this morning during our worship. It wasn't about the quality of the music, even though we want the quality of the music to be good. We want to experience the presence of God. We want to experience the presence of God with our emotion. That's why we might raise our hands. Some people may cry. Sometimes we clap. It's okay to be emotional when you worship Jesus. He's not offended, but he gave you those emotions, right? But we also pursue God with our mind. We want to know the Bible and the Word of God. And that's why we have School of the Bible, which we're signing up right now for the next month's class, if you want to be a part of that class. Because we pursue God not just with our hearts, but with our minds, so that we can receive power, supernatural power, because God knows we need help to be and to do what God called us to be and to do. Now, in Acts chapter 2, we're going to read about the first time in church history that people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First time. In John chapter 20, after Jesus was resurrected, see, before Jesus was resurrected, no one could be, quote unquote, saved. They all lived under the Old Testament law. But once Jesus died on the cross and rose again, that's when salvation became available to all people, including us. And in John chapter 20, the disciples met with Jesus after his resurrection, and the Bible says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that's when Peter and John and James all became saved. They were followers of Jesus before the death and resurrection, but their salvation experience happened in John chapter 20. And then in Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, because you'll receive power. And we talked about last week, the most amazing thing with those early disciples is they obeyed God. They went to Jerusalem, and they waited. Now look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, on the day of Pentecost. Now what is that word Pentecost? Pentecost is a Jewish, still to this day, a Jewish holiday. And the word Pentecost literally means the number 50. Pentecost happens 50 days, still today, 50 days after they celebrate Passover. So 50 days after they celebrate Passover is Pentecost. Now, in the Christian world, we celebrate Pentecost 50 days after Easter. 50 days after Easter, that 7 weeks later, we'll have Pentecost Sunday here at First Assembly. It's the word Pentecost literally means the number 50. And it was kind of like a holiday for the Jewish, kind of like Thanksgiving or Christmas or Memorial Day. Pentecost was first fruits. And so they had a big celebration. So the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, all the believers were meeting together in Jerusalem in one place. Then look what happened. Suddenly, quickly, out of nowhere, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring, mighty windstorm. Now notice, there was the sound of wind, there wasn't the presence of wind. So these 120 people are in this room, and they're praying because God says, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. And on the 50th day of their prayer meeting, while they were praying, so they heard the sound of a mighty wind. And then it says, after that, wisdom filled the house with the and then what looked like flames of fire. Now, fire didn't show up, but the appearance of fire showed up and separated and set on each of them. So what happened? They're praying. They hear the sound of a wind. Next thing you know, they see a ball of fire, not real, but they see it. Then that ball of fire separated and settled over top of each person there. Now, why did this happen? Because in the Old Testament, the two things that represented the presence of God was wind and fire. If you look at the Old Testament over and over again, when God's presence came, there was wind and there was power. It represented the sovereignty, the power of God. So they're praying on the day of Pentecost, the holiday. While they're praying, I'm sorry, there was a sound, a roar. Be like we're having church here today. Suddenly, a roar of a wind came in the sanctuary. And then a ball of fire showed up. Again, it wasn't real fire. They saw fire, and it separated and kind of hovered over each person. Now look at verse 4. And everyone present was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the gift. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, there's the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And look at this. They began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So what happened? They're there praying. Sound of a wind. Appearance of fire. The presence of God was in the place. They knew God was in the room, right? 120 people. I've actually been in that room. My wife and I have gone to Israel a few times. It wasn't a very big room. They got 120 people in that room. They were tight. They hear a sound of a wind. They see the fire. And then they began to speak in other languages, or sometimes you may hear this thing, other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, that phrase, put that verse back up for me. That phrase, gave them this ability, is very, very important. Because this was not an out-of-body of experience. This was not God coming down and taking control of them, and all of a sudden languages start coming out of their mouth outside of their control. That's not what happened. What happened was God, the Holy Spirit, gave them the ability to speak in languages they had not learned before. See that? So he gave them the desire to speak and gave them the ability to speak in languages they had not learned. Now, we're going to see here in a minute, the languages they learned, received that day. Again, they didn't learn. My wife and I, some of you know, we were missionaries in Egypt for 9 years, and we went to Arabic class, and we tried. We weren't real successful, but we tried to learn a second language, Arabic. Arabic's the second hardest language in the world to learn, and my wife and I can contest with that. Can I tell you one of the funny things we did in language school? So we went to language school, and I was the oldest person in the class by far. Most of them are young European students that were wanting to really read the Quran because the Muslims believe you should read the Quran in Arabic. And so they were learning, Europeans were coming to Egypt to learn to speak Arabic so they could read the Quran. And then there's Kathy and I. And so one day we had a tutor because we weren't very good. So not only do we have class, we had a tutor. And at the end of 5 hours of tutoring, that's how bad of a student I was, 5 hours of tutoring, our teacher, his name was Victor, says, we're going to learn one more word today. So he put on the board the word arf. And he wrote it out in Arabic and said, this is the word arf. My wife said, Kathy goes, Victor, I don't know what that word means. Would you tell me what that word means? And he said, you know. And my wife said, no, I don't know what that word means. Would you tell me what that word means? And our language teacher didn't know very much English. So he looked at her and said, you know. And my wife said, no, I don't know what that word means. Would you please tell me what that word means? And our teacher looked at her and said, you know. And my wife now is, again, my wife, she doesn't have Italian blood in her, but she could have. So now she's like, but I don't know what the word means. And our teacher was like, it means it's you know. And I'm fine. I looked at her. They went on for like five. It's like, who's on first base, Laurel and Hardy? It really was. Now, I learned how selfish I was, because the great part of it was, as long as Victor was talking to her, I didn't have to say a word. I just sat there, because it was hard. Finally, I looked at Kathy, and I said, Kathy, the word means you know. She goes, why didn't you tell me that? I go, I'll explain it later. But I was, you know. Okay. So we were trying to learn a second language. How many of you here, just you're bilingual, you know more than English or another language? There's several here, bilingual, that's awesome. Awesome. I wish all of us were bilingual, it'd be great. Now, this is not what happened there. They didn't learn another language. God gave them the supernatural ability to speak other languages. In the Bible, it talks about there's human languages, and I don't know how many human languages there are, but there's probably, a lot of human languages. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about this, the languages of angels. Do you know angels have their own languages? So the Bible says when Acts chapter 2, verse 4 happens, the Holy Spirit comes on you, and God will give you the supernatural ability to speak in a language that you haven't learned before. Okay? Now, why does God do that? Well, really, there's really one reason that God, the Bible says it's a prayer language. God gives you the ability to speak to him in a language that's just a connection between you and God. It's a connection between you and God. God says, I want us to have our own language. I want us to be able to communicate to one another in a language that you did not learn, but in a language that I gave you. And so in Acts, now, one thing when you read the book of Acts, there's a question you need to ask. What is unique and what is normative? So in Acts chapter 2, the wind from heaven and the fire, that never happens again in the book of Acts. It happened the first time, so I think God was impressing upon the people in the room, I'm present. So fire and wind were present. But it never happens again in the book of Acts, and we don't believe it's supposed to happen today. Now, if God wants to do it, he can do whatever he wants to do. But it's unique to that situation. That makes sense? But we'll see as we study the book of Acts, throughout the book of Acts, people were given the ability to speak in other languages or in other tongues. So we believe that's normative. That when someone receives the Holy Spirit, it is normal for them to speak in a language they have not learned. Again, it's not forced on them. I want you to know here at first, we're committed to never force something on someone or to ever embarrass anyone. It's never our intention. We're never going to do that. But we here see the normative was when someone received that gift of the Holy Spirit, there was never again, you'll never see a fire, what looked like fire. You'll never see what sound. The Bible calls this the principle of first. But you will see in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 19 and other places that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and again, we're going to study this chapter by chapter, verse by verse, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now look what happened next in verse number 5. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation in Jerusalem. Why? Because it was a holiday. So a big crowd was in Jerusalem because they would come to Jerusalem and celebrate the holiday of Pentecost. When they heard the loud noise, that wind, that the people in the room just didn't hear that noise. People outside that room heard that noise. When they heard the loud noise, everybody came running, and they were bewildered to hear people speak in their own languages. They're like, here are these people who are speaking language. Look at this. They were completely amazed and asked, how can this be, they exclaimed. The people are all from Galilee. So like, it'd be like Americans speaking Japanese and Chinese and Arabic. And they're like, how do these Americans speak all these different languages? That's what they're saying. Hey, they're speaking our languages and they're Galilean. Yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. And look at the people who were present here. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, there were Asian people there, Phrygia, Philadelphia, Egypt, there were people from Egypt there, isn't it amazing? And Libya, there were people from Libya, Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, and Arabs, there were Arab people all there. And they heard them speaking in all these different languages. It says, and we hear these people speaking in our own languages. Now, when you're speaking in this language, what are you speaking when the Bible tells us? It says, we hear them speak in our own language about the wonderful things God has done. So when all these people from these different nations heard this loud wind noise, they all gathered together. They heard people speaking in languages they had not learned, and they heard them saying the wonderful things God has done. When you speak in that language you have not learned, you're either praying to God or you're praising God. Does that make sense? And again, we get it from the Bible. They were praying to God or they were praising God. And look what happened. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? And they asked each other. But others of the crowd began to ridicule and make fun of these people, saying, they're drunk. I want you to know something, that if you'll live for God in your life, people will make fun of you. If you live a holy life, people will criticize you. If you live differently than all the other people are living at work, maybe in your family, in your neighborhood, if you stop doing the things you know are wrong and start doing the things that you know are right, people will mock you. And here are these 120 people. They did exactly what God told them to do. He said, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They did that. They hear the sound of the wind. They see the fire. They begin to speak in languages they had not learned, and people are laughing at them and pointing their finger at them, and they're mocking them, saying, these people are drunk. And I just want to ask you, do you love Jesus enough to be mocked for him? Do you love Jesus enough to be embarrassed for him? Young people, are you willing to go to school in your high school and you don't talk like everybody talks and you don't act like everybody acts? You don't do what, you know what? You're going to be made fun of. You're going to be an outcast. You may be mocked. Do we love Jesus enough to be mocked? But how many of you know that I used to think, here's one of the lies I believed in my life, that when I got out of high school, there wouldn't be any more peer pressure? How many of you know that's a lie? I still face peer pressure, right? So in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, again, maybe even our own families, are we willing to be made fun of and to be mocked for God? Are we willing to stick out like stars in the heaven, the Bible says, to let our light shine so much that even if we're mocked, even if we're ridiculed, even if we're made fun of, you say, you know what? I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'm going to stand for Jesus. Now, look what happened. This is amazing. Verse 14. Then Peter, go to verse 14, stepped forward. Now that's an amazing statement. Because who remember what Peter did before this? He denied Jesus 3 times. Remember that? When Jesus was arrested before he was crucified, Peter followed behind. And he was such a coward that he denied knowing Jesus 3 times. But now that he's got the Holy Spirit, that word forward can mean up. Peter stepped up. That's what will happen when the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll have a courage you didn't have before. You'll be able to speak for Jesus when you, beforehand, you might have been embarrassed, or you may be like Peter, be afraid. But Peter's no longer afraid. Peter's now the leader of the early church. He stepped forward, and he begins to preach a message in front of all these people who are mocking him. And he says it here. He says, Peter stepped forward with the other 11 apostles, and he shouted to the crowd. They're mocking him. Peter had a shout because there was no sound system. So he shouts, listen carefully, all you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming, because it's 9 o'clock in the morning and it's much too early to be that drunk. So Peter's saying, look, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's way too early. Then look at verse 16. This is so important, guys. This is so important. Listen, because here's what I want you to know. I'm not here to convince you to do it the semi-God way, the Baptist way, the Catholic way, or the Presbyterian way. We want us to do it the Bible way. Look at this. Peter says, no, what you see was predicted a long time ago by the prophet Joel. So Joel is a book of the Bible in the Old Testament. When Peter's explaining what happened in Acts chapter 2, he explained it by going to the Bible. See, what we got to know is what does the Bible say? Not what a denomination says, not what a certain theologian says, not what a certain TV preacher says, not what someone on the internet says, because you know what? You can find anything today. anything. We've got to know what the Word of God says. When Peter, with that boldness, stood up, says, look, what you're seeing today, we can find in the Bible. Look at it. The prophet Joel, verse 17, says, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Look at this. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. That word prophesy means to speak under the anointing or the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, you'll be able to speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He goes, your young man will see visions, and your old man will dream dreams. In those days, I'll pour out my Spirit even on my servants, even on the poor, he says. It's not just for the rich, it's for everybody, men and women alike. And they will prophesy. Notice here, when Peter goes to Joel, he goes, this is for men and for women. And that's a big deal. How many remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? It says they counted 5,000 what? Men only. They didn't even count the women. In Bible days, in that culture, women were even lower than second-class citizens. But Joel prophesied, when the Holy Spirit came, it wouldn't just be for men, it'd be for the women. This is why we believe women can have a ministry, because he says the power of the Holy Spirit wasn't just for men only. It's for men and women. And then he said, young man, and it's for all generations. Young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. It's for the young and the old. Then he says, for my servants, it's for the rich and the poor. Who's the Holy Spirit for? Men and women, young and old, rich and poor. It's for everybody. Isn't that good news? Nobody's learned. That's why here at this church we say we want to be a healing place for all people. We're not a healing place for some people. We're a healing place for all ethnic groups. We're a healing place for men and women. We're a healing place for young and old. We're a healing place for rich and poor. That when you walk in this room, there's no more division. There's nothing dividing us. Well, our ethnic doesn't divide us. The color of our skin doesn't divide us. What degree you may or may not have does not divide us. Whether you're young or old, rich or poor, male or female, it doesn't matter when you come in this place. Outside in the world, it matters, doesn't it? I mean, we've come a long way as a nation, but how many know those divisions still exist? They should not exist here. They should not exist here. Men and women are equally valued. Young and old are equally valued. Every ethnic group is equally valued. Educated and uneducated, equally valued. Rich and poor, equally valued. We don't have a caste system in the church. All level at the foot of the cross, because we were all sinners saved by grace. Not one person can look down on another person, because we were all sinners who needed Jesus to save us. And that, the cross, is the great equalizer. The cross makes us all the same. No one can boast that they're better than someone else because of the color of their skin, or because of what degree they have, or how much square foot their house may be. No one can boast over another person, because we are equal at the cross of Jesus Christ. We are all sinners who are saved by grace. And today we're all members of the same family, the family of Jesus. Now look with me at verse 21. Skip down to verse 21. Then Peter says this. Everyone listen to this. I'm almost done, I promise. He goes, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the equalizer. Everyone. I did a Greek study in that word everyone. You know what it means? It means everybody. That means anybody, anywhere, at any time who calls on Jesus will be saved. I want you to know, listen to me. I don't care where you've been in your life. I don't care what you've done. You may have committed a sin that you think there's no. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. I want you to know that if you'll call the name of Jesus this morning, you will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. They'll be blotted out. God will make you a son and daughter of Jesus Christ. You'll become a member of his family. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. And I want to give you a chance today. Not done preaching yet, but we're going to stop. with every head bowed and every eye closed. Worship team, you can come on down. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, if you're here, today can be your day. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Kevin, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. Or maybe you said a prayer when you were a kid at vacation Bible school or a Sunday school or a youth camp, but you know you're not living right today. You know there are things in your life that are not right. Today's your day. Say, Pastor Kevin, I want you to pray for me this morning because I want to be saved. Would you raise your hand real high where you sit right now? Raise your hand really high. Is there anybody? I see that hand in the back. Thank you, sir. I see another hand. Thank you. There's been two. You can put it down. Thank you. Is there another? Oh, there's three. Isn't God good? There's three. There's three. Anyone else? This morning, you want to be saved. You want to give your life to Jesus. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask everybody here to repeat this prayer after me. And if you mean it from your heart, if you say these words sincerely, God will hear your prayer. Again, God promises if you'll call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. So will you repeat it after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I love you, but I admit I've sinned against you. And I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, and he rose again, and he's alive today. And I commit my whole life to Jesus. I commit to live for Jesus all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you bring the lights back up? Those who said that prayer, look at me. If you said that prayer and believed it, we have some gifts for you, some resources to help you live for God. And after the service, there's a black table over there and a black table back there. If you'll go there, there'll be someone there. We've got a free Bible for you, a devotional, and we want to get to know you. If you'll go back there at the end of the service, we want to give you some things. Now, we're going to conclude this sermon with 3 points. Do it real quick, okay? Number one, when God's at work, it's real and genuine. When God's at work, it's real and genuine. You may be here this morning, and this all may be new to you. Maybe some of you are thinking, what have I got myself into? Again, I want to tell you what's important. What's important is what does the Bible say? Number two, I promise you that if God's in it, it's real and it's genuine. Number two, God's work is for all people everywhere. God's work is for all people everywhere. Salvation is for everybody, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is for everybody who's been saved. God doesn't do some work for some and not for others. The Bible says he heals all. He saves all. He rescues all. God is for everybody. If you've got a need this morning, the Bible says this very plain. He is no respecter of persons. Aren't you glad he's no respecter of persons? He made it clear, men, women, young, old, rich, poor, all the ethnic groups that were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, Arabs received the gift of God. Egyptians were there. They're all there. Doesn't matter where you were born. Doesn't matter. Listen, God doesn't discriminate based upon the location of your birth. Doesn't matter where you were born. Doesn't matter what color skin you have. We all need the blood of Jesus. Doesn't matter if you got a doctorate degree or you didn't graduate from high school. Doesn't matter. All the same. All the same. Someone, when God's in it, it's real and it's genuine. You can trust it. Number two, when God's in it, it's for everybody. It's for you. Then number three, if Peter needed the power of God to be the person that God called him to be and to do what he needed, he walked with Jesus for 3 years. That means I need it. If Peter needed it, because you know what? Sometimes I'm like Peter before we see the Holy Spirit. I can be a coward. I can be scared. I can back down and not stand up for Jesus. I can be like that. I don't criticize Peter when he denied Jesus because you know what? I kind of done it in my past. But when you get the Holy Spirit, you can change.
Now you've got the power of God inside of you. And you could be like Peter, rather than backing down like he did before. What did he say? He stepped up. He stepped up. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. He'll help you step up. He'll help you step up. So I'm going to ask our prayer team to come down front. And we believe today God's here. And if you want to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit that we taught about today, we want to pray with you. Again, we're not going to force anyone. We're not here to embarrass anyone. But we believe God's here. The same God that filled those 120 on the day of Pentecost back then, he's here today. And you can receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Go ahead and stand. I'm going to pray. Worship team's going to lead us in worship. And if you want to be prayed for this morning to receive that gift, we invite you to come down, okay? Father, I just pray for every person here. We pray that you release the Holy Spirit right now. And God, give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Give us the power we need to be the person you called us to be and to do what you called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to be prayed for, you make your way down. God bless.